quite impression.
All right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf. Today's daf is Kovav. We are going to do today Kovay. Our plan for today is we're going to finish the parak. That's our stated plan from the very beginning. We're going to get up to the 13th parak of Zvachim. And hopefully today we're going to finish the 12th parak of Zvachim. The last sugya that we're doing is about the Parma Nisrafim. Parma Nisrafim, interesting series of karbanos where the karban, it's a karban chatas, all of them. All the Parma Nisrafim are karban chatases. And what happens with them is that they are not burnt on the Mizbech, but they're burnt outside, way outside. The Mishnah says outside the Gimel Machanos. We're going to talk more about that later this morning. In all these Parma Nisrafim, there are five in total, just to make sure everyone remembers. The two of them on Yom Kippur, right? The Seir and the Par of Yom Kippur. Seir, not the Seir HaMashtaleach, but it's twin. The Seir LaHashem. So it and the Par are burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I mentioned yesterday Mishnah Yuma. Mishnah Yuma says that on that part of Yom Kippur, so you had a choice. Either you can hear the Kohen read the Torah, or you can go and watch the parm being burnt. So they're burnt outside the Gimel Machanos, which I mentioned yesterday, is outside of Yerushalayim. Three other karbanos that are burnt outside of Yerushalayim, that is, again, in this format, in this context, that is the Halam Davishal Sibor, the Kohen Gadol, and the Avodah Zarah, the Seer of Avodah Zarah. So those are the five in total where they are burnt outside. The Torah tells us that when you burn them outside, so you're subject to becoming Tamei. Okay, we'll talk more about that later. So today, a little bit of Tumah Tahara discussion comes into the mix. And the Gemara, as it does, probes into the aspects of the Parma Nisrafim. Because it is strange. It's a different type of carbon altogether. In the respect that it's like other carbonos, Yishechted in the Beit HaMikdash, in the northern part of the Azara, and you take the blood and you sprinkle the blood. But that's pretty much where the similarities end. Where is the blood sprinkled? So you take the blood and you go into the Heichal. And you sprinkle it in the Heichal, onto the Paroches, if it's Yom Kippur, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You hit the Mizbeach HaKetores, and that's where you're doing the sprinkling. There is the Shirayim, right? Any leftover blood after the sprinkling, you pour on the outer Mizbeach. So that's the only time that it sees the outer Mizbeach. Imurim, the innards of this animal are offered on the outer Mizbeach. And after that, you take the remainder of the animal and you bring it outside and you burn it outside. And as I mentioned already, outside the Gimel Machanos. So for example, yesterday the Gemara asked a question. How about the psul of lina? Is there a psul of lina by a regular carbon? So if I leave the meat overnight and I don't put it on the Mizbeach, so that meat becomes disqualified, right? If it's a regular carbonola. Or if it's a carbon chatas. No sarlina, I mentioned yesterday, similar ideas. Very, right? So yesterday the Gemara wanted to know, is there this concept of lina by the meat of Parma Nisrafim? So, as the Gemara mentioned yesterday, there's no consumer to this meat. It's burnt outside. So is there a concept of lina? So the Gemara ended off yesterday saying, I don't know. Okay, so let's continue. We are on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis.
What's the difference between lina and kinotah?
None. They're essentially the same. Lina generally is the term we use for things that are going to go up on the Mizbeach. So in other words, by carbonola, so the meat goes on the Mizbeach. So if I leave those pieces overnight, so we say that that's subject to lina. Or the blood. The blood's supposed to be sprinkled the day that you shecht it. If I leave the blood overnight, the blood becomes disqualified through lina. Notice that we just usually use for the things that I'm going to eat. Okay. But this, by Rebbe Lazar. Okay, we're continuing. We're on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. About 10 lines from the bottom of the page. It's the second word in the line, Tashma. The Tashma did need Levi, sorry. No, my love. Little psul to me. I'm sorry. By Rebbe Lazar, sorry. Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, and it's three words into the line. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. By Rebbe Lazar. Yitzia Masher Tal Beparim HaNisraf Miserim Nisrafim. So the Gemara says, what about the psul of Yitzia? Now that's a funny question. We're going to take it out. That's the plan. The plan is, after you shecht it, and after I sprinkle the blood, I'm going to take it out. So, my kami baile. So that's a head scratcher, and the Gemara scratches his head. Well, what are we asking over here? I'm Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Aliba de Manda Amar, Adayin lo higez manalat seis. Oh, so the Gemara helps, first of all, just qualify what the question is. Remember, we learned not that long ago, about a week ago, a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the meat of shlamim. Now the meat of shlamim, what happens with that meat? So we're going to enjoy it. The owner of the carbon is going to enjoy that meat, and we get to take it outside of the Azara and eat it in Yerushalayim. You're confined to the city of Yerushalayim, but you can eat in Yerushalayim. What if I take the meat of carbon shlamim out of the Azara before I sprinkle the blood? Okay, so you shouldn't do it. Meaning, the only time that you can bring the carbon out is only after Zrikas Adam. But what if I bring it out before Zrikas Adam? So Rav Yochanan said, it's okay. You shouldn't have done it, but that's okay. And Rav Yochanan's argument, it's going to go out anyway, so you brought it out prematurely, but it's fine. It's okay. And then the opinion of Reish Lakish is, no, it's not okay. It becomes disqualified. You brought it out prematurely, therefore it becomes disqualified. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. Now that you know the opinion of Reish Lakish, now the Gemara says, here's what we're considering. According to Reish Lakish, who says that if I bring the meat of a shlamim out before the Zrikas Adam, now I'm going to ask pretty much the same question over here. What if I bring the Parma Nisrafim out of the Azara before Zrikas Adam? So basically, it's the same question. So the Gemara says, "Me, I'm reading Hani Mila Basa Dein Sofal Latzis Cholva." And here, why would it be a question? Because, explains the Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, in the case of Shlamim, so you don't have to take the meat out of the Azara. You can, but you don't have to.
Give it to the Kohanim.
You can give it to the Kohanim. You can eat it in the Azara. Here, by the Parma Nisrafim, you have to take it out of the Azara. So maybe that mitigates the fact that you took it out prematurely. Right? You shouldn't have taken it out yet. Wait for Zrikas Adam. You didn't wait. But this may be different because I got to take it out. So maybe because it's a chova, it's as almost as if the Torah is saying, I'm adding a little bit over here in terms of an explanation. It's as almost as if the Torah is saying, you know, it's excusable why you took it out so early. Because you know you have to take it out anyway. All right, so you took it out a little bit early. So maybe it wouldn't be a psul, maybe it wouldn't be a disqualification. So the Gemara answers this question, Tashma, did ni levi, shira bo psul b'tziyaso. Let's say a psul takes place while it's going out. My la psul yitziyah. So the Gemara says, what disqualification are we talking about? So presumably we're talking about the psul of yitziyah. I mean, it is being taken out. And the Gemara says, no, lo psul tumah psul lina. No, the Gemara says other disqualifications. The disqualification of tumah, disqualification of lina. Now even though, just as a side note, even though the Gemara just a moment ago, at the end of yesterday's daf, said, I don't know if there's a psul lina, the Gemara over here is just simply saying, we could give other explanations. This is not the only explanation that we have to give. Okay. By Rabbi Elazar, Prime Minister Rafman, Sirim Minister Rafman, Shiasa, Rubo Bemiut, Aver. Mahu. Okay. Just a little bit of backup before we start with this series of questions over here in the Gemara. In order for the animal to become tamei, it has to leave the Azara. Right? We learned that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when it leaves the Azara, so the person handling at that point in time is going to become tamei. So when it says it leaves the Azara, what does that mean, it leaves the Azara? It means that the animal has to exit the Azara. It's pretty straightforward. How much of the animal has to leave the Azara? So we say all the animal, or the majority of an animal, right? In the world of halacha, we know rubo kikulo, that once you have the majority of the animal leaving the Azara, we treat it as if the entire animal has left the Azara. Okay. Now the Gemara, okay, with all that background in mind, the Gemara is going to ask basically questions like this. When we say the majority of the animal, the majority is pretty straightforward to figure out, meaning that the animal occupies a certain volume, right? The animal is a sizable mass of body, and so when I say the majority, I mean 51% of the animal. The total volume of the animal has to leave. So the Gemara starts asking questions like this. Why Rebbe Lazar? Prime Minister Rafman, Sirim Nisraf, Shiasa, Rubo, majority of it left, B'miut Aver, but it's not most of the limbs. Meaning it's only some of the limbs. So when I look at the total package of the animal, do I look at the total body mass and say 51%? Or no, do I look at the parts? And since in parts, not most of the parts have exited, so therefore I don't consider it as if the animal left. It's a very detailed question, but really it's a conceptual question. It's how we measure up the animal in its totality, or by the sum of its parts. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ach miyuta da de'aver basa ruba shadina le v'halo nafkale odilma Basaruba de Behemah Shadinan. So do we look at the totality of the animal? The Gemara says Pshita de lo Shafkin Ruba de Behemah Vazina Basaruba de Yavarim. Okay. So the Gemara says, even though we raise the question, the answer is pretty straightforward. I look at the totality of the animal and I just simply gauge, do I have the majority of its body mass out of the Azara? If yes, alright, well, now we're out. Elashiyatza Chetzio Barov Aver. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's ask the following question. Let's say 50% of the animal left the Azara. Again, this is all very conceptual, but still, 50% of the animal left the Azara. So we are exactly 50-50. However, if I now freeze frame that moment, even though 50% is out, now 50% is not the majority. 50% is half. But the majority of limbs are out there with that 50%. So now, right, if you want, let's just take the arm for example. Okay, just as an example. So let's say this line of the table here is a point of demarcation between outside and inside. So here right now, I have my arm. Right, we'll start from here and we'll go down here. So right now, it's just a short part of my arm. My hand, a little bit of my arm is here. So right now I will say, look, let's take a look at the aver, let's take a look at the limb. Most of the limb is on this side of the table. So what you could do is you could say, well, most of the limb is on this side of the table, so I'll take this hand, which is attached, and I'll move this hand over here, not move it, but view it as if it's over here. What the Gemara is suggesting is, look, when we look at limbs, limbs are not going to override the total picture. Meaning the total picture is the most important thing to look at when viewing what's outside and what's inside. But if, let's say, it's 50-50, so now the total picture tells me we're right in the middle. And now I have a scenario where on one of the limbs, most of it is outside and some of it's inside. Can I look at the limb now as a limb in order to get me over the 50% mark? Where now this little bit that's on this side, because it's attached over here, because the majority is over here, can that allow me to look at it as if the majority is outside? Again, a very detailed question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, is that what we're going to say? That we're going to look at the minority of that limb follows the majority? Or no? Do we just simply look at the animal in totality? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question in unresolved. Now, one more little bit of this type of questioning. Rabba bar Rav Huna Masna Begavre Be Misaskim Bo Chamisha Bnei Adam V'Nafku Tlasa U'Pashalu Trei. The question that's asked according to Rabba bar Rav Huna is slightly different. Question is not about the animal, but the focus is on the people. We were discussing in the Mishnah two and two. Two in the front, two in the back. What if it's five people carrying the animal? Three in the front and two in the back. So my Basar Rov Misaskin Aslinan or Basar Behem Aslinan. So do we follow? Three go, that means all five cross the line. Even though two are in the back, but two are the minority. So the two in the back become Tame. Oh, Dilma perhaps. Basar Behem Aslinan or no. Do I just simply follow the animal? And right now the two in the back are not outside the Azara. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rabbi Elazar, Parmasim and Estrafa Shiyasav Chazru Mahu. Okay, more questions. Okay, before we continue on the Gemara, just understand what's happening over here. Right, a lot of these questions sound strange and detailed. What's happening over here is that the Gemara is confronting a tuma that we've never seen before. not that we've never seen before, but it's really odd. Meaning, what does tuma usually come from? It comes from sherets, right? A mace, right? A nevela. Tuma usually has a source, and then once it has a source, it just starts emanating tuma, and that's it. So if I sherets, if I have a dead frog, a dead lizard, a frog lizard. I'm not sure if I have the animal right, but it doesn't matter. But if I have a sherets, a dead sherets on the floor, so it's just going to keep emanating tuma. And I know that all I need to do is just touch it and I become tummy. Maga. Or if I have a nevela, if I have a carcass of an animal, so then masa, so then I pick it up. Touching also, but if I pick it up, I become tummy. And finally you get to the human corpse, and then you can add to that tumas oel, just being under the same roof. So these are all things that we're very familiar with. In this parsha of Parma Nisrafim, when do you become tummy? So the correct answer is not touching it. The correct answer is not carrying it. The correct answer is not being under the same roof. Yeah. The correct answer is, I pick it up and I carry it out. And once I'm out of the Azara, while being misasek, while being involved in it, then I become Tameh. It's a strange way of contaminating Tumah, of Tumah contamination. We don't have this elsewhere.
So not necessarily all these things will be true is if you are walking into a room carrying that with Tumah's mace and you're...
None of this is true. Right. I'll say it even stronger. None of it's true.
Right.
This method of contracting Tumah is totally anomalous. We don't have it anywhere else.
Yeah, we have it para aduma.
Para aduma, a little bit of it by para aduma, but not like this. Not like where I carry...
The person who's handling it is going to be...
The person, right? Sorry, Foso. Correct. The person who burns it, correct. You're correct. Absolutely, right. Oh, fine. So para aduma. So we'll add para aduma to the list. Okay. And I'm saying it's still the whole idea that this is how you contract tumah. We don't have this. There's no other... This is not a general rule. This is really exceptional. And so now that we look at it that way, now you understand, the Gemara is going to ask these whole series of questions of... When exactly do you become Tameh? Like what is that critical moment? And you see the Gemara was struggling just a moment ago. Well, when I cross the threshold out, am I looking at the animal? Am I looking at the person? Like, in other words, the Gemara really struggles because this is really an anomalous type of Tumah where we don't see this elsewhere. Okay, let's say
that. Oh,
so good. So that's going to be our next line of questioning.
What level of Tumah does it give?
So it's metame begadim, which means that your clothing are going to be tummy, which obviously means you're going to be tummy. So by being misasik, you're going to be tummy.
So it's like avatuma. It's like the same thing as
You're going to be an avatuma. No, you'll be a vlad. It'll be.
So you would not be able to pass.
You'll
it to
be.
Else.
You'll be. Not, you won't be able to pass it to somebody else, but you'll be metame. I think I'm pretty sure, but you'll be metame Oakland and Mashkin and not Kalem. Okay.
What,
so we move on because we have more daf to do. Teku. No, it's okay. No, Teku.
If you have a Mitzorah who's not a Bukhla, he goes out, and while he's out, he can become
Tameh. Yes, that's all true, but as far as when he becomes Tameh, he's the Tameh, he's Tameh when he's declared to be a Mitzorah. That's it. This is it. This is a strange type of Tumah where the Tumah doesn't start when you pick it up, doesn't start when you touch it. It starts when you leave the Azara. Okay, watch. Watch the Gemara's next question. By Rabbi Lazar, Parmosir, Manisraf, Nishiyatsu. V'chazru. So you picked it up, you walked out of the Azara, and you went back into the Azara. Okay? So, Mi Amrina Kevin de Nafkalu it Maluho, Dema Kevin de Hadar Hadur. So the Gemara says, well, on one hand, you left, on the other hand, you backtracked. Okay, and Rashi over here, Tosos is going to, Tosos has a difficult time, you see, right? You see Rashi.
What does it mean backtrack? What does it mean backtrack?
You went back into the Azara.
You can't walk in the Azara.
That's what I was going to say.
You can't walk back into the Azara in a state of Tumah. Look at Rashi over here, Rashi. Where am I? Show Dilma Basa Behema. No, not that one.
Yeah, the Korban with you. That's the thing. You're carrying the Korban.
Shiyatza v'chazra meim kasakala in Tumah v'gadim sha'ela itmalu kevin da hador. So and then Rashi says, "Kevin the Yatz." This is a short Rashi. Okay, Kevin the Hader, but Havalu Kamishlo Yatzu. It's as if you didn't leave, right? It's as if you didn't leave. So according to Rashi, watch what just happened. We all pick up the Parmanis Rafim. We all walk out of the Azara. Okay, now we're all Tamei, the animal and the people carrying it. Then we go back into the Azara
with the animal.
With the animal, Tumagan. Right, that's. No, I mean, that's the question. I mean, that's one side of the question. One side of the question is, when you go back in, oh, no, Tumagan. Tumah there, Tumagan. Now, usually we don't talk like this in Tumah, like the disappearance of Tumah. Tumah doesn't disappear. It's true, you go into a mikvah, and that's how you get rid of Tumah. It's true that if you have a kli, and you break the kli, so the Tumah goes away. But here you have an animal that becomes Tumah, and then you go back into the Azur, Tumagan. Tosos is bothered exactly by this question. Oh, Dilma Kevin to Hador Hador. The second Tosos on the page. Perish Bekuntras, the Mibayele Lenin, Tumas Begadim Sha'elo, Shotziu. Vikasha, Atu Mechitzas Azara Makom Tahara? Great way to phrase the question. What's going on right now, says Tosfos? The Mechitzas Azara, the walls of the Azara, they're a Makom Tahara? It's a mikvah? You go into the Azara and that's it? Now you're Tahara? The Kevin Shenitmu, me Yitaharim.
In a way, they are, because the walls will determine whether you become Tahara or not. Once you cross that wall, you are Tameh, and that's why if you go back, you're taller.
Okay, so that's you're defending Rashi, and I like that, and I appreciate the defense of Rashi. But where is that? We don't have precedent for that.
This is the case. This is the case. So,
I can't. It's difficult to argue because all this is unprecedented. Every part of this is unprecedented. So, could be that Rashi would say, in defense of Rashi, correct. Correct.
It could be that they didn't go bring it back, maybe somebody else brought it back. And then, since. And now,
okay, but still, though, in other words.
No, maybe that though, because the carcass is back in.
Right.
It's not implying they went back because they had too many games.
Right.
Right.
No, so Tosfos, you're sounding a lot more like Tosfos. Look at. I'm going to continue in Tosfos because it's going to be a little bit complex because there are really going to be two pshatim running down this Gemara in terms of what the question actually is. So according to Rashi, the question is it goes back in its tahor, and apparently people are happy with Rashi. Tosfos is not. V'nir lefarish the mebayi leilengin hanogeh b'fnim. The dilma kim and the atzah b'chutz afak of the chazur hanogeh b'fnim. Tame. So it's right. Tosfos says more like you, meaning that we're not talking about the people coming back in. We're talking about the animal having been brought back in, and now somebody else touches the animal, okay, and handles the animal. Fine.
Who brings the animal in?
That's the people who brought it out, or somebody else. Again, none of this should have happened. Shouldn't have been brought back in to begin with. But the Gemara is just testing the waters of this type of tumma. That's what the Gemara is doing right now.
According to Rashi's Shita, isn't he assuming that there's absolutely no Hesed Chadas? Well, when you take it, there's no pause.
Right. Well, the tumma over here is not a function of Hesed Chadas. Yeah. The tumma is just a function of I took it out.
It is. Right? As long as we're carrying the animal, what would there be a Hesed Chadas?
Correct. Right. I wouldn't introduce that over here. Okay.
Is it a special type of tumma that, I mean, why wouldn't be this be able to apply to all other things that are tumma, bring it to Chazal and be changed?
Right. Because we don't have this, as I mentioned earlier. We don't have this. This is a special type of tumma. So Parmus Yerman is Rafa Shiyatsu Bechazuma, Miyamin Kevin Danafkilu it Meluhu, Odama Kevin the Hadar Ador. I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Mama Tashma, you sell the Nosa Bemota, so Rishon Shiyatsu Chotsa Chomas Azara. Vachronim Lo Yatsa, Rishon Shiyatsu Chotsa Chomas Azara, Metamim Begadim Vachronim, Ein Metamim Begadim Ad Shiyatsu. So we go back to our Mishnah. Now we know what the Mishnah says, the Mishnah we saw yesterday. Four people carrying it out, two in the front, two in the back. The two that leave are Tameh. The two in the back are not yet Tameh. They won't be Tameh until they actually leave. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So once the animal is brought out, so then the people, you know, bringing up the rear, in this case, literally, right, the people bringing up the rear, so why don't they become Tameh? So you see it's a function of exiting, and it's not a function of being in the Azara. So again, now you have to, this is the tricky part. You got to figure out, according to both Rashi and according to Tosfos, what have we just resolved? According to Rashi, Rashi says bringing it back inside again. The question was bringing it back inside again. Does that mitahir it? Right. That's the question according to Rashi. And it seems that the resolution now is, what is the resolution according to Rashi? Rashi, let me read Rashi inside. Hanach deika gavai nami nitmu dehayitziya leinyan tuma begadim beparim ksiva yotzi al mechutz machane v'sarfu. Umine yafin lakamim bepirkan lamalach kemen sheyatza apar chutz machane achas metame begadim. Acho bidon delo nafik gavrei nitmu ela lav mishum da'amar di hador hador. V'choshken elu shemachzirin v'omdim sharei lo yotzu. Yeah, so Rashi says it's a function of being out. Once you bring it back inside again, it becomes Tahor. Mm. So according to Rashi, the resolution is it actually does become Tahor. Okay, and again, that's difficult. Tuma there, tuma gone.
I think it's too much to do with the place where the animal is eligible for burning. So as soon as you get into that place, that you pass that threshold, you're outside of the machane, the animal is eligible for burning, you become tamei.
Okay.
You come back in, the animal is not eligible for burning.
Right. Okay, fine. You're not tamei. But that's it's a chiddush on your part that the tumah is related to the burning.
Okay, fine.
But I don't understand if the person cannot come in, when he has even sickness, not being dead, you know, I can't come in. How do they bring that animal in? I don't.
Somebody has some things
to do. Yeah. No, but it doesn't make sense because we're not allowed to go to.
All right. Wait. I'm a Ravina. V'tizbra habi'ina v'achri yavol amachne v'leko. So the Gemara says, so it doesn't make any sense. In other words, it's just not logical. The achri yavol amachane, and afterwards you go back into the machane. But like and over here you can't fulfill that part of the pasuk va'achri yavol amachane. So elam Rav Elazar hechi ba'i leke go and then nikita lebekulsi. So the Gemara says no, you're right. In other words, no one's walking back into the azara. No one can walk back into the azara. Everyone's tamei. The question on the table is, the animal was brought back inside, and how did people take it out? They took it out by kind of like, so to say, reaching with poles. Not the people who already took it out, right? They're now tamei, but we're talking about another set of people who would sit there and take it out with poles. So in other words, now the animal's already been taken out, so maybe just on contact now, the moment they start poking at this animal with poles, so now they become tummy, even though the animal has not yet left the premises. Okay. So again, so the Gemara struggles with at what point precisely does it start giving off tuma? When it exits? What if it exits and re-enters? Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Parma parma v'sir mishalech ha-mishalech v'sir mishalech ha-mishalech ha-sarfan v'ha-motzian mitame begadim. V'hein atzman Ain mitame begadim, ava mitamem ochlem umashkin divar Rabbi Meir. Okay. Rabbi Meir says like this. We are talking now about, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, really an anomalous type of tuma, where you're the handler. The handler becomes tame. The one who takes it out of the azara, the one who actually burns it. Right? The handlers, we're going to call them from this point forward the mas'askin. Those that deal with it, they're going to become tame. It gives you a sense. What about the animal itself? The animal itself is also going to be a source of tumah. No.
What level is the person?
So right. So Hedy asked me that question. If you're begadim or tameh, so that means.
Are you a sheni or a
rishon? No, you're a rishon for sure. You're not an av. I don't imagine you're an av. Right?
No, because it's derivative.
Right. You're a derivative. I would imagine you're a rishon. I'm a little bit second guessing.
Obviously, about Ohel and Zah, right?
No. But you're talking about a mace Adam. So if you come into contact with an Adam, so you're an Av, but the mace is an Avi Avos, and you're an Av. So, but this is not a mace. This is talking about the dead carcass of an animal. Okay, fine. I would imagine you're Rishon. Okay, you're the handler. You become Tameh, right? You would imagine the animal itself also is a source of tumah. Now, as I mentioned before, it's hard to make so many assumptions over here because this is a different type of tumah altogether. But if just think of it this way. If the handlers of the animal become tumah, it's fair to say that the animal itself now is also a source of tumah. So, Reb Meir says, correct. That's exactly what Reb Meir says, agreed. So, it goes like this. So, I'm going to read it again. Paramu paro. So all these cases are bulls, para dumo, si'ir ha-mishtaleach, the goat that's being taken out, thrown off the cliff. So ha-mishtaleach, the one who sends it out, ha-sorfan, the one who burns it, ha-motzian, the one who gets it out, mitame begadim hein atzman. So they, the handlers, are mitame begadim, meaning their tame and their clothing are tame. And mitame begadim, pause, the hein atzman ein mitame begadim, they're going to be matame food. So if food comes into contact with the carcass, food will become tame. This is the opinion of Reb Meir. Okay. The Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim said, wait a second. Para upare matamim ochlin umashkin. Sira mishtalech eino matame shuchai. V'achayin matame ochlin umashkin. And the Chachamim said, what are you talking about? A live animal giving off tumah? No. That there's no such thing. And here I'll say it literally. No such animal. No such thing as a live animal giving off tumah. People, while they're alive, can give off tumah. Azava, azava, nida, yoledas. But an animal can only give off tumah after it's dead. So Rav Meir, we're going to have to understand Rav Meir. So, and we're going to have to understand the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, I get Rav Meir. Bishlam le Rav Meir ki detana debe Rav Yishmael. Detana debe Rav Yishmael kol zera zera maz raim shein sofa le tamay tamay chamura. Utsrich and hechsha av kol shein sofa le tamay tamay chamura utsrich and hechsha. Yatsa nivlas of tar shein sofa le tamay tamay chamura vein utsrich and hechsha. According to Rav Meir, it goes like this. There's this idea of hechsha tamay. Hechsha tamay means I got to prepare something to become tamay. Meaning something doesn't just simply arbitrarily become tameh. It needs hechsher, it needs preparation. So with the food, it's a liquid. So in other words, by a food, the liquid makes it now susceptible to tumah. It's called hechsher. It's an entire mesecht and shas dedicated to the topic of machshirin. However, Tana Debei Rav Yishmael teaches us the following. If something is a source of tumah, it doesn't need hechsher. So nevela, sheretz, these are sources of tumah and don't require hechsher. So the Gemara says,
"Tamei for something else, a sheretz becomes tamei for something else."
No, no, it is a source of tumah, and so therefore it doesn't need hechsher. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Meir, perfect. You're right. Live animals usually don't give off tumah, almost never give off tumah, and so therefore they don't need hechsher. But the seir hamishtaleach, but the the Sira Mishtaleach, the Parah Aduma, right? Even
also an animal is subject to idol worship.
Nothing else. Just these animals. So because they're a source of tumah, and we know that because the Misasik, the handler is tameh, so it doesn't require hechsher. Now hechsher usually comes in the form of liquid, but hechsher can mean any real form of preparation. Meaning the slaughtering of an animal. But if it's a source, it doesn't require hechsher. So the Gemara says, so I really do understand Rav Meir. The Sira Mishtaleach, because it's a source of tumah, so therefore it's going to give off tumah. If the animal itself is going to give off tumah. So you know what? Truth be told, I understand Rav Meir. El Rabbanani is Lahud Tana Debei Rav Yishmael Afilu Sira Mishtaleach, Eileif Leafilu Paro Parim Uparo Parim. So, but really, now that I got that, so now it's really the Chachamim we're going to struggle with. Because according to Rav Meir, the rule goes like this. If it's a source of tumah, it doesn't need hechsher. All these are a source of tumah. Good. So they don't need a hechsher. According to the Chachamim, so now, are you following the rule or you're not following the rule? So if you're following the rule, so then you're going to agree with Rav Meir. And if you're not going to follow the rule, so then none of them should be a source of tumah. So I feel parim parim inalan. So kiyasu ravdimi amri ben marav etzrichin hechsher tuma mimakom acher. So in Eretz Yisrael, when going over this machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, so they give the following pshat. According to the Chachamim, you need hechsher tuma mimakom acher. What does that mean? So Rashi explains it like this. Rashi, wide lines on the page, eight lines down. Right, last two words in the line. Amri b'ma Rava tzrich and hechsher tumah b'makom achir. Hadetan debei Rav Yishmael hachi kamer kol shein sofa l'tami tumah chamur etzarech hechsher tumim b'makom achir. Shiiga b'sheretz of a nevela veloshi itama me'elav. Aval misha sofa l'tami tumah chamura ain't tzarech liga b'tumah u'mitami tumas ochle me'elav kigon paro parim. Fine, pretty much what we said, that if it's a source of tumah, it doesn't need any prep work. But it has to be fit for tumah. In other words, it has to be where in our lexicon of tumah tahara, it has to be something where we normally say, yeah, that's tumah. A dead animal. Yeah, that's tumah. Right? Velo balei chayim, but not live animals. Delo ashkachan bebehemos balei chayim etamim. We never have that. We never have a live animal giving off tumah. So according to the Chachamim, I basically agree with Rav Meir that if it's a source of tumah, it doesn't need hechsher, but you got to be in the category, you got to be in the parsha of tumah. Live animals are not in the parsha, so they're not going to be a source of tumah. Okay. It is a good explanation, but still, you're really, In other words, you're still back at the place where the misasik, the handler of it, is tameh, but according to the chachamim, it itself is not tameh. Okay, so, huh? And Rav Meir is going to say no, because it's a source of tumah, it is.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's going to give off tumah. I'm sorry.
If the animal was tameh, could you touch it?
So if the animal is a
tameh, could you touch it?
Of course. What do you mean? Can you touch it? You can always touch tumah. In this case, you have to. Meaning the Torah is mandating you to become tameh.
No, but thank you. Would the Torah mandate you to touch something that's tameh, knowing that you're going to, you know, you could.
The question doesn't start. I'm not understanding.
I think it's a tameh.
It's one thing if the thing is not tameh and you touch it and become tameh because of special status, but it's another thing if the thing is tameh and you're touching it.
I understand that, but in this particular example, which really there's no, I know everyone wants to generalize from this. It's hard to generalize from this particular example. The Torah says to you, pick it up. Go outside and burn it outside. And by the way, you're going
to
become tummy.
Right.
That's it.
Is there a question between Afrokon and the live animal? Azazel, right? How do you pronounce it?
Azazel.
That's who they're arguing, right? Am I right?
No.
Any
live
animal. It's a lot. Okay.
Right.
We'll talk about it after.
Okay.
By Rabbi Lazar, Parmus the Irma Nisraf and Maoshi Tamu Ochlam Mashkin Bifnim Kibachutz. Okay, more about this again, because as I mentioned, it's such an anomaly. The Gemara is struggling. So by Rabbi Lazar, Parmus the Irma Nisraf. So I have these. So Maoshi Tamu Ochlam Mashkin Bifnim Kibachutz. So are they going to give off tumah while they're still inside the Azara? So what you're going to say to me? Well, what's the question? In other words, they only become tameh when they leave. No, but they only are metame the person when they leave. Maybe it itself becomes the source of tumah even prior to that point in time. So mechusa yisir kemechusa ma'isa dame. So look, the fact that it hasn't left yet, maybe that's kemechusa ma'isa. It's as if it's deficient in the act of being removed, meaning it's not yet tame. Alone, the Gemara says no. Ubasa dabai hadapashte mechusa yisir kemechusa ma'isa dame. So the Gemara says it's mechusa ma'isa. It hasn't been left out yet. Even on this question of the Gemara, right? Again, I'm gonna point out just another oddity in all this. You understand what the Gemara just asked? The Gemara just asked these Parim Nisrafim. So maybe they're not Metame the people who handle until they leave, but it itself maybe is Tame even before it leaves. Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the page, Vim Tamer Im Metame Bifnim Im Kain Yitmu Aseimurim.
Right.
Like, if the Parim and Nisrafim are tummy inside, right. So the Imurim, right, the innards, the chalev and the few organs of the inside, right, which are going to be offered on the Mizbeach, they're going to become tummy.
Right.
And that can't be, because we know if any part of the carbon that becomes tummy can't be offered on the Mizbeach. So, right, it's just a lot of... It's just a lot of oddity in all this. And the Tosfos answers, and mechusa chaticha pshita dehavik mechusa ma'isa velo tetama b'shas prishasam. Okay, and well, if you got to cut it off, that's for sure mechusa ma'isa. That the Gemara never even contemplated. And okay, so you see that just okay. We get to some strange conclusions with all this. Ba'imine, back to the Gemara. Let's go. Ba'imine, Rabbi Abba bar Shmuel, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Nivos of Tarla, Rabbi Meir, Maoshi Yitama b'Chazayas. Okay. Wow. Extraordinarily detailed question. But let's explain the Gemara's question like this. We know that we have the carcass of a bird that did not receive a proper shechita. That's called Nivos of Tahar. We also know that if you touch it, carry it, do pretty much anything with it, you don't become tameh. You got to eat a kazayas of it. Special gzeres hakasuf. That in order to contract tumma through this, you have to eat a kazayas of it in order to become tameh. Good. How much do you have to eat? So as I just mentioned, a kazayas. Now, the Gemara wants to know like this. So essentially, according to Rav Meir, what do we learn today from Rav Meir? That if something is a source of tumma, it also now is subject to be metame other things. Okay? This nivlas of tahor is a source of tumma. It's a strange source of tumma, but that's what it is. It's a source of tumma. So now the Gemara wants to know, now that I know that it's a source of tumma, can it give off tumas ochlin even if it's less than a shear of a beitza, we know by Tumas Ochlin, it only gives off Tumah when it's the size of a beitza, the volume of an egg. Here, this is only going to give off Tumah even if it's less than a kebeitza, even if it's a kezias. According to Rav Meir, can I use that rule that we learned today, that something that's a source of Tumah can give off Tumah even though it doesn't meet the requisite size of Tumas Ochlin? So the Gemara even further qualifies this question. So,
but when you touch it, then you go...
Not
the bird, but other animals that he's talking about.
You have to eat it. The Tumah is only when you eat it. So the machzor la'ar loti bailach. So look, if it's on the ground, not a question. Because if it's on the ground, it's not even close to being a source of Tumah yet. It's only a source of Tumah when you're eating it. And the nakib bepume, now if it's in your mouth, again, loti bailach, that's also not a question, because if it's in your mouth, it now actually is a source of Tumah. So of course it's going to be mitame other foods that it touches while in your mouth. Kiti bailach denakele biyadei. So here the question is, you're holding it in your hand. Mechusar kreva kemechusar maisa dami olo. So now you're holding it in your hand, you are just but one step from putting it in your mouth and now making it a source of Tumah. So since you're so close for it becoming a source of Tumah, so maybe I will say, much like the Parman Israfim, that it's going to be mitame other foods even at this pre-Tumah state. So the Gemara's answer is, Amar Mechusar kreva lavka mechusar maisa dami. So the Gemara says, yeah, in your hand is like in your mouth. And so therefore, it will give off Tumah to other foods, even though it itself is not even a kebetz, that's only kezias. Mesa, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on the first Mishnah in Taharos. First Mishnah in Taharos says, Shlosha asa dar nemu beniflas of Tahar. Well, if you never heard of niflas of Tahar, so you learn the first Mishnah in Taharos, and you learn 13 things about niflas of Tahar. Oh, good. So v'zeh echad mehem. Tzrichen machshava, the ain't tzrichen hechsher. So it needs machshava. Now, what does that mean? It needs machshava. So Rashi over here, which is not Rashi throughout the rest of Shas, gives a pshat. Rashi throughout the rest of Shas, which Tosus over here quotes, you have to think of it. You have to think of it as a food, and we normally don't because it's not kosher. But you have to think of it as a food. The ain't tzrichen hechsher, and it doesn't require hechsher because it's a source of tumah. Umetami tumas ochlin bicha beitza. And when is it going to be tummy other foods? When it is the volume of a beitza. Oh, so that's a problem. Because what we wanted to suggest, what we were suggesting, is that it should give off tummy even if it's less than a beitza. So the Gemara now formulates the question. My love, Rav Meir, he... Now, this position over here of that Mishnah Taharis, you know that's Rav Meir. You know it's Rav Meir talking. Now, how do I know that? V'lo Rabbanan he. So it's, we know it's Rav Meir because... One of the things it says is it doesn't require hechsher. The Hakatani Resha Tzricha Machshava Vein Tzricha Hechsher. Uman Shama Leha Svar Rav Meir. Umin the Resha Rav Meir Sefer Nami Rav Meir. So now it's Rav Meir, and it also says in that Mishnah that you need the volume of a kebetza, not a kezias. So Midir Yahakadisa Vahakadisa. The Gemara says, well, maybe I'll tell you that first part of the Mishnah is Rav Meir, but the second part is not. The Gemara says that's very strange because Hamid Diktani Seifa. Because then go on in that Mishnah. Because what does that Mishnah also say? Shchitasa Malikasa Matayris Trefasa Mitomasa. That if I shecht it or molek it, so then it's no longer subject to being Tameh. Meaning either one of them save it from being Tameh. Now that's a discussion that we had earlier in the very challenging sixth parak of Zvachim. But Rameir's of the opinion that Malika and or Shchita are going to save it from being an avela. That sheet is Rav Meir. So man shama lehi svar Rav Meir. So reishav is safer Rav Meir umitziyasa Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, now what do you want to say? So the first part of the Mishnah in Taharos, that's Rav Meir. The last part, that's Rav Meir. And the middle, shifting to Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, in reishav is safer Rav Meir umitziyasa Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know that's difficult. I know that doesn't usually, doesn't flow, but yes. So, So now, fine. Okay. So, Rav Hamanul says to Rav Zera, Lo seisav akarech adamart li hamilsa. Don't sit down until you tell me the following. Meaning, he got excited about a halacha, and the expression which we've seen a couple times in Shas is, wait, don't get comfortable yet. I need to ask you the following question. Nivas of tarla Rav Meir, monin la rishon v'sheni, o ein monin rishon v'sheni. So again, we're going back to Rav Meir. And the Rameir rule of life, no, well, not of life, but of strange Tumah and Tahara, that if something stands to be a source of Tumah, and it's going to make other things Tameh, it itself also is going to give off Tumah. So we saw that by Parma Nisrafim. So now, if I could take that and translate that to the Nivlas of Tahor, the carcass of a bird, so the Gemara wants to know, does Rav Meir count it Rishon Vesheni? Is the Nevela going to be a source of Tumah to be Mitami foods? And the answer he gave was very simply, no. It doesn't give off Tumas Maga, it's not Mitami foods. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us the following. It's a Braisa, even better. Yes, he changes it to Braisa. Chibur Ochlan Ali De Mashkin Chibur L'Tuma Kala VeChibur L'Tuma Chamura. So we have another rule. Okay, if I have foods of a shear of less than a kezias, half a kezias of nevela, half a kezias of nevela. Now, if they're touching one another, so then good. So then you have a full kezias of nevela, and it's going to give off tumah. What if they're not touching another, but they're connected by liquid? So the rule is, oddly enough, right? Difficult to explain this. I'll show you Rashi in just a moment. Oddly enough, if it's connected by liquid, so it's mechubar for tumakala, meaning that it's susceptible to tumah, vein chubal tumachamur, but it's not going to be a source of tumah. Okay, oh, that makes perfect sense. And Rashi says it doesn't make perfect sense. And right, ein chibul tuma chamura. Rashi latame adam mekalim v'taima lo yadana. Right, Rashi makes a full admission. Rashi does this a lot throughout Shas. Right, and it's good. Rashi says it's good to say you don't know. Right, especially when you don't know. I'm excellent at it. I'm a master of responding to this. So over here, so it's mechaber. It creates tuma kala, but it doesn't create tuma chamura. So monim borishon v'sheni, and monim borishon v'sheni. And again, now that we have this oddity of a kezias of meat, but it's really two half kezasim connected by liquid, so is it going to give off tumas rishon v'sheni? I'm like, ha'echad demetame adam, monim borishon v'sheni, emetame adam, ein monim borishon v'sheni. And again, the answer is a very simple, no, it does not. Okay, and that ends our discussion today.
Now,
Wait one second. That ends our discussion today regarding Tumah and Tahara. And so where we are right now is the Gemara's discussion of the strange Tumas Misaskin, of taking out the para outside. The Gemara's trying to figure out when exactly that Tumah happens, when you cross the threshold, when you leave the Azara. What if you go back in? The issue of it's Metame the Misasik, how about it itself being a source of Tomo? Machlok is Rameir and the Chachamim. Okay, a really complex Gemara for today. Complex in terms of Tomo and Tahara. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We go Yatsu Eilu Ve'elu. So they both come out. Minahani Mila Detana Rabbanan. Where's it burnt? Outside Gimel Machanos. So Detana Rabban Lahalon Omer Chutz Gimel Machanos Kan Lamachana Achas. You have to burn it outside the Gemma Machanos. You become Tame once it leaves the first Machana. First Machana is Machana Shechina. Machana Shechina is Machana is the Azara. So that's when you become Tame. The Higu from Inala. Now, how do I know that it gets burnt outside the Gemma Machanos? Tana Rabbanan. We learned this in a Braisa. Now, we did this already. So the Braisa starts off by saying, I take it out all three machanas. The Gemara points to various psukim that keep saying chutz lamachana. Redundancies, and what the Braisa does is every redundancy it extracts and says a further machana out. Kishomer michutz liten lo machana shnia. Kishomer michutz lo machana b'deshen shein tzarich lomar sherek kvar nemar ashefach hadeshen yisareif liten lo machana shlishi. So according to the Tanakama, it's based on yiter hakra, additional psukim that keep sending me out, and eventually sends me out all gimel machanos. Rabbi Shimon, hi michutz lo machana mayavale mi bayle lechidetanya. Rabbi Lazar Omer Nehmer kan chutzamachna Nehmer lahalan chutzamachna. Ma lahalan chutzagimah machanos. The paradum is outside gimah machanos. Avkan chutzagimah machanos. Ma lahalan lemizrach Yerushalayim. Now, where's the paraduma burnt? East of Yerushalayim. Rashi cites, the pasuk says that when you burn your paraduma, you're facing nochach penei ha'ohel. You're facing the ohel. So that means that you're facing the, that you're the east of the, of Yerushalayim. Avkan lemizrach Yerushalayim. And so therefore, when you burn your parmenis rafim, it's east of Yerushalayim. El rabbanan hechi sarf lehu. Now, according to the Chachamim, they don't learn out the Gimel Machanos from the Paraduma. Where do they burn it? Meaning, Gimel Machanos, but in terms of compass, location. Kedetanya hechi nisrafim l'tzaf on Yerushalayim. Chutz Gimel Machanos. To the north of Yerushalayim. Rashi explains why to the north? Because it's a chatas. And all chatas avodas are done in the north. Even though, by the way, please understand, when we're saying north, usually we talk north of the Azara. Here we're talking about north of Yerushalayim. But still, it's the concept of north. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Abes Adesh Nisrafin. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's burnt in the Beis Adeshen. The Beis Adeshen is where I take out my Trumas Adeshen. Not off the Mizbeach. That's the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshen. Here, this is the mitzvah of Hotzaas Adeshen. So, Amar Rav Amantan and Depalik Alad Rav Yosef Gilil Rav Elazar Ben Yaakov. He did Tanya with Anton Abraisa. Al Shefach Adeshen Yisarif Sheisham Deshen. In order to burn it, there has to be already ashes existing over there. Rav Elazar Ben Yaakov Omer Sheyem Akoma Meshupach. No. It just means that the area has to be a slanted area. Amale Abai Dama Bim Koma Meshupach Pligis. So the Abai says, I don't know. Maybe they both agree about location. It's just a question of whether the area itself has to be slanted. Tana Rabbanan. Hasor mitam begadim below. Hamatzis hasor mitam begadim below. Misardus hamarach mitam begadim. So if you set up the campfire, you don't get tameh. You actually have to burn the par in order to be tameh. The ezu asari from misayeh b'shas reifa. You actually have to be involved in the burning of the animal. Yachol af. How about if it's reduced to ash? Tamalomer osam osam mitamim begadim, or mishenas an efer ein mitamim begadim. Once it's reduced to ash, that's it. It no longer is mitame. Finally, Rabbi Shimon Omer osam mitamim begadim, nita chabasa ein mitamim begadim. Once the meat has become charred, right, well done, if you will. So then it's no longer mitame begadim. I benayu amar Rav Ika benayu dushavya charucha. And the Gemara says very simply that the difference is well done versus reduced to ashes. According to the Tanakhama, it must be reduced to ashes in order for it no longer to be a source of tuma. And according to Rabbi Shimon, well done, that's already at the point in time where it no longer gives off tuma. Good. Hajalach Tzvul Yom, that is the end of the 12th parak of Zvachim. Tomorrow we start the 13th parak of Zvachim, Shchutei Chutz, new topic of discussion in the Masechta Zvachim. Please stay tuned.